Welcome to Dentists, Implants, and Worms, helping you navigate the world of dentistry one vodka soda at a time. As always, from day one, this episode is brought to you by Boyd's Wine and Spirits on Mount Rushmore Road in Rapid City, South Dakota. The finest selection of bourbon and wine for miles around with cold beer, a growler station, and rock bottom prices. Now, here are your co-hosts, Drs. Justin Moody and Randy Huska.
Welcome to another episode of Dentists, Implants, and Worms, helping you navigate the world of dentistry one... I'm having a Fireball and Sprite.
There you go.
You have not had any Fireball yet. Please pour yourself one. Thank you.
I'll get on that.
He was a little bit wounded yesterday. Not uncommon for day one of voices if you come in the day before.
So, exactly.
Augie Doggy is here. He's trying to beg for some orange chicken and some Mongolian beef. Let's get it.
All right. Oh, damn. He damn near took a fingertip.
Well, I know. I know you got to be careful. As always, for almost 300 episodes, Boyd's Wine and Spirits in Mount Rushmore Road, Rapid City, South Dakota, has been providing us with the finest adult libations. If you're ever out visiting Mount Rushmore and you would like to go out and stare at George and Abe and the boys, grab a good bottle of bourbon from his fine selection and a lawn chair.
There you go.
Like it's impressive out there. So, all right. Wow. We have recurring guests here. They are the owners of probably one of our most downloaded episodes of a meat raffle. We are going to attempt to we can't even top it, so we're just going to do it. But we have Michael and Laura from Wondrous Agency, and welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Good to be back.
And also from one of the people here at VOD, thank you for sponsoring and doing all the things you do. The web, and, like, we really appreciate your help with VOD.
It's been a fun year planning.
This is our favorite conference.
Yeah, hands
every
down.
Year.
Hands you know, down.
Well, we didn't really know what would happen this year. You know, like it didn't happen last year, obviously, and the year before was just months before, like. The shit show showed up, so now
that would be the COVID shit show for those that want.
Yeah, I know, and you know now, I think we had 30 some, cancellations within the last two or three days. You know, just people couldn't make it because they got COVID or exposed or whatever. And I think the turnout's still great for what's still happening.
It's just a unique group of people. I feel like every year we come, it's our favorite show because you know everybody here is just. So fun to talk to. It's really it's
the special. Egos are checked at the door.
Yeah,
you know, by definitely, you know.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's definitely of all the shows we've been to, the bottles of whiskey open earlier here than any other show that I've ever been to.
Did you guys bring the screwball?
Mm-hmm. It's under the table.
Oh,
yeah. As was I.
We get we got in a little trouble yesterday, all of which
and you were on top.
Yeah, that's right.
All of which I always ignore. So as you can see, El Diablo is still pouring dragon's nectar as we speak. So it's all good. But you know, the people have been great, and I think one of the things I find fascinating is both the attendees that come to Implant Pathway and then now to this meeting is. I love watching people's reactions when they come from states that are still pretty locked down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Washington, the Oregons, the New Yorks and stuff. And then you come here to Arizona and...
South Dakota.
It's lawless.
Yeah, yeah. But that's how they see it. Like, they see it as this, like, lawless place where people, like, don't follow the rules and we're not following any rules because there aren't any.
You can't follow the rules of VOD anyway.
I know.
It's impossible.
So it's funny. VOD 2 years ago was the last event, I think, in dentistry.
Before COVID.
End of January.
So we had just had.
The last event was the midwinter. Mm-hmm. The midwinter.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. It went VOD. Then 2 weeks later was the midwinter. And even at that midwinter, there was talks of, like, what is going on.
Oh, yeah.
They were just shutting down international travel, but everybody thought we would be. Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
I took my team to Nashville in like the third week of February.
Oh, that's right.
For one of T-Bone's things. You know, and I remember getting on the plane. I wasn't paying much attention to it, but the girls, you know, they're wiping down my seat on the plane for me and all this stuff. And I'm going, oh, that's a pretty good team. I like that. Why are you doing that? You know, yeah. And we had a good time. And then 3 weeks later, shut her down. Yeah. But not for long, 5 weeks.
The other event I remember, your first year doing symposium, we showed up to that, and I remember it almost felt a little dirty to be there. I mean, it was like that was the middle. We were in the thick of it, and, you know, you had to size everything. I could tell everyone was eyeballing each other like, you know.
That was that was January of 2021.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Arizona had just let us go beyond 50 people in a room. Right. And, you know, we had that giant ballroom, and there was like the 6 foot spacing and stuff. But still,
you
no
maxed
mask.
It out. You maxed
yeah,
it
yeah,
out.
Still no, yeah, still no mask.
Do they still have limits on size?
Not here, not here. No, all that's gone. I did, however, get a. I'm speaking at the University of Pacific's dental alumni meeting in April up in San Fran, and I did just get a notice that if I don't have the booster, that I won't be coming.
Oh.
All right.
Yeah, and then this whole host of rules and all these other things, and I was like, yikes. But it's what it is. Like,
I got the booster. It was nothing.
Yeah, it is what it is. You know, so I'll show up and do just fine, and, you know, hopefully.
And the COVID and the everything else.
Hopefully, like, I don't know. Well, I think for like 2 years we've been saying, you know, we're almost through it. We're almost over.
I
like,
think the curve's like about to be flattened. I'm going very optimistic.
Jeez, well, I think I'm optimistic.
It two more like, weeks.
Well,
more
it looks
weeks.
Like the, what's that guy's name, Boris, that runs the UK.
Mm-hmm.
They threw out all the mask mandates, and he in front of Parliament or whatever they call it, he declared COVID over. He said it's a cold now. And he removed all mask mandates and stuff from England. So hopefully, maybe the rest of the world will
do the same thing. Good luck with that.
You know, Chris and I went to, like, we went to France, you know, for my 50th birthday last year, and they were, like, those people are hurting for, like, like, when we got there, like, they were so appreciative that we made the journey, because, like, you know, they wanted our money.
They're giving houses away for free in Italy right now.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. So let's talk about something better. If you haven't showed up to Implant Pathway or what we now call The Pathway, thepathway.com, you can see a – have you been there yet, Randy? Brand-new website built by Wondrous.
I was searching through it the other day.
You can actually find stuff now.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
It is no longer under construction.
No. And, you know, we've used this year to – you know, COVID did a really great job for us in that, like, we stayed working. And we've gained a nice following, and we had some great courses, and allowed us to have some time to, you know, deep dive. Like my personal site is new, thanks to these two and their team, and the Pathway's got a new webpage too. So thanks for doing all that for us.
As does Husqa Dental.
Yeah.
I heard that they made an appearance at your place.
Yeah. The website's up, looking good.
Is that really corn behind your office like that?
Yeah.
Really?
So I'm on Main Street in a small town, but I have field on three sides of me. So I got corn or soybeans.
Do you own all that, or is it?
No, I do not.
Oh.
But it's there, right across from the high school. So that's a small town.
Well,
I mean, it.
I don't consider it a small town, but it probably is a small town.
Wow.
It's a college town, by God.
Yes. It's not a large town.
How many people?
10,000,
but that's small.
But it's got a Division I university, so that's a big chunk of the population. I've got a very diverse my patient base is half university, which tends to be fairly blue,
right.
And then half ranchers and farmers and everything. So it's always interesting.
Which is all red.
What's that?
Which is all red.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there?
And guess which ones wear masks.
What's new at Wondrous?
Oh man. You know, it's
come on.
I think the thing that we are increasingly focusing on more and more is the stuff that all business owners focus on. It's people and process. And so, you know, over the last 2 years, the thing that I've really appreciated is I think we've all collectively gotten that kick in the butt to get more serious about the projects that we know we need to do as a business. And the more dentists I talk to, they're in the same exact spot. And I look at the way that, you know, the Pathway has grown, totally new brand, the exciting things that you guys are working on. You know, it's easy to have these sort of this idea of where you want to go, but to actually get that kick in the butt and do it is tough. And I think that's what I've really taken out of the last year and a half. And so for us, it's a lot of foundational stuff that, you know, the fundamentals, the stuff that people don't care about, but really defining your process, making sure that you can automate the things that, you know, that you don't require people power to do, and give as much time as, and focus to your team to focus on the things that clients need. So we've really spent a lot of our time working on that. You know, the only real thing that I think has just sort of changed foundationally for us is, you know, this recognition that there's a missing piece in most dentist marketing. So, you know, in the past, what we would talk about is the first piece is find what makes you different, tell a story, and the second piece is then go tell the story where your patients are. But the third piece that we've focused on in this last year is once you get someone interested, how do you follow up with them? Because the reality is, especially if you're dealing with implants, all on fours, Invisalign, these big decisions for people, most people don't jump the first time they hear about it. So you need to have a system as a dental office to follow up and to nudge. And so we're rolling out this new CRM. It's called the Wonderful CRM. And it basically becomes a list of leads for all the people that come into contact with your practice, and you're able to automate text messages and emails to nudge them along so that they ultimately make that decision come in. So that's been a whole year in the making, and it's something we're really excited to roll out.
You know, we had a conversation with someone podcasting yesterday, and the conversation was about, you know, those big terminal dentition cases, the big $50,000 cases that come in. They generally don't need a bunch of education on why, right, you know, why they should have this done. Like, they know what they need. Like, they've Googled it. They've done all the things. You know, they need a little bit more guidance, I think, on, like, how I should pick this clinic over that clinic. Mm-hmm. And then I think the other divider is, like, how do you be more inviting to them? You know, instead of bringing them in and browbeating them about, well, you know, you haven't brushed your teeth, you know, for 20 years, so now we're going to have to do this. You know, it's more along the lines of, well, we do this and, you know, like, if this is something that you'd like to get started, like, we can. If
you're not ready.
If you're not ready, like, we'll be here. You know, yep. Like, we'll be there for you. And I think, you know, maybe your CRM is where that kicks in. It's like, hey, like, listen, like, you know, how are things going, you know, or, you know, are your teeth still hurting you? You know, because, like, people, it's amazing what people tolerate. Mm-hmm. You know, I listened to Detola say that at one point, he was doing 75 Vicodins a day.
It's just an unbelievable story.
No, it's 75 to start the day.
Well, yeah, and you think about that, like 1.7 of them would cack me for the day. Like, I'd be down and out and like in like La La Land, you know. But he got used to it. That goes to the same thing that these terminal dentition people do. Like, they learn to live with the pain. Mm-hmm. Like, so, like a lot of times you look at it and you're just like, oh, you know, how many of your teeth hurt you? And they'd be like, yeah, I'm not really in that much pain, you know. And they'll be like, you know, I might not be able to eat all the foods that I eat. But they actually are in pain. They just don't know it because
it's normal.
Yeah,
it's their normal.
It's their norm. But I tell you what, when you clean all that up
and it quits hurting,
yeah, they'll come back in. Like, they can have a giant denture sore, you know, from the immediate or whatever. But they'll come in and be like, I feel a million times better, you know. And it's almost always that way. And so it's like, okay, how do we do a better job of telling, you know, people that, like, we can change your life. Mm-hmm. And these are the, you know, and you, but they have to be ready.
Yeah.
You know, because we also talked a little bit yesterday, like, if I push you to that treatment. Mm-hmm.
Like, and you weren't ready,
then
they ain't gonna be happy.
No, I mean, yeah, you have problems and all these things, but like when you're ready to do it, that patient is just so much easier to work with.
And I think making somebody ready to do something has a lot to do with the conversation that you're having with them, right? It's like they may be sitting on the edge and you have to help them get over the finish line to say, hey, you can trust me, I can do this for you, and here are the tools in my toolbox, or here is the way that we're going to do this, or maybe we just parse it out over the course of time, or we give you a plan that's digestible. And they don't need to know all the details, right? We were talking about this earlier. They don't need to know all the nitty-gritty details of what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. Now, there's always exceptions. But, you know, giving somebody a digestible plan to get them over the hump while also saying, hey, listen, you can trust me, I've done this, or this is the thing that makes me stand out and why I'm the right doctor for this, because we talk about this with all the time. It's like dentists just raise their hand and say, I'm a dentist. Look at me. You have to have the unique story to tell to pull somebody in, right? Because that need-to-need conversation, the humanizing part of all of this, is really what makes the world go round, which is why the last 2 years has been so interesting, because people forget they need people, right? You need to sit down with somebody. You need to get them over the hump and lower the barrier to entry for them to do the thing that they can do that's going to be life-changing for them.
You know, I think there's a simple formula for this, right? It's two things, convenience and trust. And the reality is, you know, for people that are struggling to make a decision and they're living with some degree of chronic pain, it's a slow boil, right? If it happened overnight, I think it would be obvious to everyone that I need to treat this. But
several times I have told a patient when they come in and everything's kind of going, they're just usually, I said, you know, I can put a nail in your forehead slow enough and it yeah. won't hurt.
Yeah. But and so for me,
how's that for an analogy? If you put a nail in your forehead slow enough over enough time, it doesn't hurt. But you end up with a nail in your forehead.
Absolutely. Oh, it's so true. And I think that's where you
like
need
that
to,
one? You can, yeah, you can use that, Moody.
You need to create that convenience for someone to reach out when they're ready, because I think it can be very isolating. And a lot of times people do need that nudge. They do need to feel like someone cares. They do need to feel like someone's thinking about them. And let's face it, most dentists, most front offices do not have the time to send a text message to someone who came in and check in on them every week and say, hey, how are you doing? Are you ready? What can we do? Do you want to have another conversation? I think creating that level of convenience is going to result in more cases. But the bottom line is trust. And, you know, we were talking about this earlier today. I believe firmly in patient education. But at the end of the day, the one choice that people are going to make is, do I like you? Do I trust you? And that is, you know, that's it, bottom line. They don't need to understand, you know, every part of the process. They need to understand, you know, do I connect with you? Do I trust you?
I was looking for Augie. If I lose Augie, I lose my girl. So, like, I, part of the deal. Like,
so we I just, agree.
I'm that was great, Michael.
Yeah.
So we just told your story recently because we
did.
Chris, who's taking photos and videos of us right now. What was that like for you?
That's fun.
Did you have a good time?
We did.
You're kind of used to being on camera, though.
A little. But not like that. Nobody likes seeing themselves on camera.
Yeah.
You know. But, no, we had a great day. It was fun. Girls, also, like team liked it.
I've never listened to one of our podcasts.
Never?
What?
Ever. Never downloaded.
Not even episode 35?
No, I've never listened to any of them. I was there. And I hate hearing my voice. I hate hearing my voice on TV or the stuff, so I just like.
I understand.
This is like the thematic thing that we keep talking about today. Is
I
like,
don't listen to podcasts that I record. I don't think I've ever gone back and listened to one.
No, never. Yeah. I've never.
I can relate
like,
to that.
I lived it once, and like I don't need to re-listen to it.
Yeah. No, and the same with being on camera. Yet,
yeah.
I mean, we would watch sometimes just because we didn't know how it would get edited, you know. But there's a lot of fast forwarding.
Yeah. Do you get? Back to a little more serious note, you have to be experiencing some of the same problems that we do, like lack of human power.
Yeah.
Like, like you would hire people if they were like wanting to.
We're actively. Work. I mean, we're hiring for four account managers right now, looking for a designer. Looking, it's unbelievable and it's frustrating.
And you know, some of it's from just to clarify, some of it's because we're scaling and some of it's just adding to the team and stuff. It's not like a churn thing necessarily.
Yeah. You've got a mix. You've got growth and lack of available employees.
Right.
We have that at the shop in Tempe. Like we're looking for, I don't know, like four dental assistants, two front desks, an office manager, and
throw more shout outs for you. Forget about that.
Yeah. I mean, people are the most fun part of business, but they're the hardest part. I mean, I'll share a story. One of the things that we've kind of gone through recently, you know, gosh, we're in our 10th year. We're not quite in our 10th year.
We just started our 10th year.
And this year was the first year that we got a bad glass door review. And since then, I think there's maybe two or three that we've gotten. And it's just, you know, it really is an emotional toll because you put so much into your business and, you know, not everybody's going to be a fit when they come in. But I, you know, we've had this conversation with dentists so many times. A patient comes in, a patient's frustrated, they leave a review, and it just feels so unfair. And I think that, you know, there's that same feeling when, you know, as an employer, there's this site that is totally slanted towards what does a disgruntled employee want to share, and there's no vehicle to talk about the performance plan they were on, the, you know, I mean, it's just this.
Yeah. And God forbid you complain about them.
Yeah, right.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, now attorneys will show up and all these other things. It's crazy. And we're the same way. Like, you know, we just fired a few people. And, we got some bad reviews. But at the end of the day, like, the only reason we are keeping them is that, like, your mindset is like, God, you know, even though I hate the sight of them and even like I can't stand it, like, but no, I mean, like, but
do you got a bad review out of that?
This podcast?
Yeah, but do you like, or is it better if they come to work and do whatever pisses you off? Like, and the answer is like, mm-hmm. and I try to tell Dennis, like, if you ever fear going into the office or don't want to go to the office because you're going to have to see or talk to that person,
mm-hmm.
they'd have to go.
Yep.
Like instantaneously. I don't care mm-hmm. what they're doing and you don't think you mm-hmm. can replace them and you don't think the world will fall. Like, you have to get rid of them because it's, like, it was destroying, it destroys the culture.
Yeah. You always wish you did it sooner.
Oh.
It's a hard lesson to learn. I mean, we have repeatedly, you know, watched someone leave and the team that forms after is a stronger team. I mean, I look at our team today, and we could not have a better team on the field than we do right now.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, there's always that self-doubt. You always create an excuse for why you should be holding on to someone.
Oh, I'm a slow burn on firing people. It'll take me long time.
You know, well, and part of it's you want to assume the best in people, right? You want to give them a chance. And then the other part of it is just, like, you're a baby, and you don't want to do the hard thing, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It is, you know, and everybody has that different tolerance, you know, like, you know, somebody that is quick to fire.
Lance Timmerman.
Yeah.
Seattle protocol.
Yeah, the Seattle protocol. If you're operating with the Seattle protocol, you're branded an asshole.
Yeah.
You know, but in reality is like, I just don't need to like lose that kind of, we on the last podcast, we talked, like, my dad, you guys haven't had a chance to meet him yet, but like, my dad will be, if he likes you, he will just, like, give you incessant shit and, like, is funny as hell. But if he doesn't talk to you or he doesn't spend much time with you, like, he just doesn't have tolerance. He just doesn't have time for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not going to say, like, I think you're an asshole. He just won't talk to you.
Yeah.
You know, or he just moves on.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, I'm learning more about that. It's like, yeah, you don't have to burn the bridge, but, like, you just don't need to hang out with them.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's some power. Yeah, there's, and I, someone, you know, someone said the other day, it's like, oh, everybody's just so nice at Pathway. And I was like, well, they better be.
Yeah.
You know, they better be, because, like, that's the culture of it. And if, like, if someone on my team, like, treated someone like an asshole and they didn't deserve it, like, I would not want them around.
Building the right team is the most important thing in business. And it gets overlooked so often. And again, I think we've all talked about this many times. Unfortunately, in dentistry, what dentists are trained to do has nothing to do with business. It has nothing to do with management. It has nothing to do with training a team. And when you think about building for success, you know, you need to have someone in that front desk position that understands people skills, that understands how to sell. There's that dirty word that we don't want to talk about in dentistry, selling. And, you know, the practices that we see succeed the most are the ones that have teams that you can just tell they enjoy working together. And talk about the best marketing out there. I mean, you know, we're marketers. You think we're going to talk to you about websites and SEO. And the best marketing you can do is have a good culture in your office, because that's the feeling that people leave with, and they're going to go talk to their friends, their family, their community.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that so often is overlooked in a bad employee situation is, like, what's the employee going to say, or how does it make Michael or I feel? And the thing that you don't recount is, like, you can't punish the good players on the field by keeping this crapper around.
It's demoralizing.
It's demoralizing for them.
So, I presume you haven't been back to Wisconsin for a while.
I don't. When was the last time we were in Wisconsin?
It's been too long.
July or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, you've been since COVID, though.
Yeah.
Oh. Did you? Did you go back for a meat raffle?
We did not go back for a meat raffle.
It's kind of a cold weather activity. Yeah. You know. There's a seasonality to it.
Is there and we're not going to talk about the meat raffle, because if you have not heard the episode about the meat raffle, you should definitely go back into the archives of the Worms and listen to that episode.
It's a good one.
Is there anything like what's the summer rituals? Drinking?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, drinking is the thread that holds, you know, the state together. I mean, it's funny you say that, but, you know, if you go into sort of these smaller towns and you literally drive block to block, you see this pattern where there's a bar on every corner.
It's a tavern. It's a tavern, Michael.
It's a tavern, that's true. But, you know, it's the Fox Valley. I mean, you can look this up, like, literally Google it. Fox Valley has the most bars per capita of anywhere in the country. It also has the most alcoholics per capita of anywhere in the country. So I think
odd how that works.
Yeah. It's you know, build for
highly
success,
correlative.
I guess. But yeah, Wisconsin's just a unique
place,
and there's
proud Wisconsinites living in San Diego.
I went to the Dells this summer.
That is a forgotten place.
Like 25 years ago, I was in the Dells one.
You know, you know what's so sad about that? Geographically, the Dells is probably the most beautiful part of that state. I mean, it's there. So early on, you know, there's a photographer that's, you know, kind of the Ansel Adams there. It's called H.H. Bennett. And you can see just the amazing landscapes, these sandstone canyons. And, you know, what did Wisconsin do with this geographic gem? They literally put the worst possible version of Pigeon Forge there. the thing I always want to know is, here's my question. How many Ripley's, believe it or not, do you need in one street? I will never understand that. You know, it's like you're in Mexico and you pass it one time, you're like, oh, I should have gone in, and then you go another two blocks and there's Ripley's again. Yeah. It's just, I would love to understand the psychology.
How could you be down on Tommy Bartlett's water skiing?
I grew up
falling.
Going there, man.
Tommy Bartlett, you
I
know,
grew up
that.
Going there.
And then what's the magician? Is it like Rick Wilcox or something?
Yeah.
There's like, you see all these, for like 100 miles around, there's like this guy with a pigeon on his shoulder, like Rick Wilcox, I think. And, you know, I can just smell what that show is. You can just, like, the fake smoke in the air. Yeah. And, like, it's, yeah.
100%.
Where'd
you stay? The Kalahari?
I flew in and flew out.
Okay, yeah. Better for everyone.
Some motor lodge.
We took our business partners. So we have a different agency, and they had a Wisconsin bar thing at in the Dells. And we took our business partners from South Carolina there. And they were just like, and it was winter. It was like December or something. And they were like, what is this place? It is forgotten. This is crazy. We're like, yeah, I don't know how. I don't know.
Just take them ice fishing.
I actually think that the people that brought me out there used the words, the Dells is like the place time is forgotten.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
So one of the great things about that, though, there's this remnant, right, that's left over. And one of the proud traditions Wisconsin has is the supper club tradition.
Yes.
You guys know, have you guys been to a supper club?
Well, they're from the Dakotas.
Well, I don't know.
I've only been to the Deadwood Supper Club.
Supper Club.
So there's some things that define a good supper club. One of the things when you first go in, this is how you know you're in a supper club. First of all, the building, you know, is clearly 50 years old or more, and all the people that work there were the original employees, and they are now, you know, in their 70s.
Ancient.
Same hairstyle, everything's the same.
Yeah,
but
time capsule.
But one of the foundational parts of the supper club is the relish tray. So, you know, when you come out, you get this little tray, and it's got vegetables, some olives.
Like a little Lazy Susan.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Like the little tiny pickles?
Yeah,
little
tiny exactly.
Pickles. Oh, okay.
Radishes.
I mean, it's
ranch, ranch dressing.
It's this sort of
Dorothy Lynch.
This amazing amuse bouche in, you know,
the Nebraska, by the way.
Well,
classic of dining establishments. But supper clubs are, you know, foundational to Wisconsin. And as you go out into, you know, just sort of the lake.
What's the difference between a supper club and a restaurant?
Oh, it's fundamentally different.
Yeah.
And
is it a literal club?
Well, I think
back in the day,
is it like an Eagles or
so,
a Moose Lodge? Or?
So Friday night, traditionally, you'd go to the supper club with your wife or a couple friends or whatever. And maybe you go, you play a little bridge, you have a cocktail right after work, there's a live band playing, and then everybody migrates in for dinner, steak dinner, meat and potatoes, maybe some cream spinach, something like that. And then afterwards, the live band kicks up again and everybody hits the dance floor. And then you go home.
Which makes
or
sense.
You drive your snowmobile home,
when
frankly.
When you think about how cold it is, you don't want to go to multiple places in one night. So you want to have sort of all-in-one entertainment. Now, the unfortunate thing is supper clubs have kind of lost the musicality. But, you know, one of the things that remains that I think is foundational to a supper club is you've got the bar, which oftentimes people come in, you're going to have at least one or two drinks before you eat.
Can you go behind and mix your own drink?
And in the true supper clubs, that would... Everybody knows everybody, and everybody's also going to have your video poker right up at the bar.
Video poker,
100%. You're playing video poker
100%.
Before you have a nice steak meal
100%.
Or a prime rib meal. And so, yeah, you know, if you have not been to a supper club in Lake Country, Wisconsin, it is an experience that you will not forget.
Yeah. And there's like just some real consistencies about it. The chairs are those I don't know how to say, those vinyl like 1970s chairs.
I think and sticky is the sticky, word you're looking
yeah,
for.
Sticky yeah. chairs. The tablecloths are the vinyl top with that cotton bottom to them.
Yep.
The dishes have, they're like still glass, but not still glass. They're like this diner kind of a plate. There's just some real elements to it. They have those brown plastic cups. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And brandy old fashions.
And brandy old fashions, yeah.
Which is the way God intended an old fashioned to be.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, you're missing out.
Road trip.
Yep. Road trip. Let's go back to the what's all on the relish tray?
Celery, radishes.
Celery, radishes.
Tiny little pickles.
Tiny pickles.
Not the like sweet pickles, so like just
the
like,
tiny, the long skinny tiny.
You know,
pickles.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like
I smell some olives.
Have a snap to them.
Sweet
you.
Pickles need to come with a disclaimer because you're always expecting a dill pickle.
Yeah, I
and
agree.
Then they just hit you with that sweet pickle, and it's just you know.
I literally, if you ever serve me a sweet pickle, I may throw it at you.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm with you
because I'm not expecting it.
No.
And like, no, this sucks.
Yeah,
like I'm done.
Yeah,
yeah. And I'm
so
trying to
real pickles,
else.
Real baby pickles.
Yes.
Yeah, and then maybe a little ranch dressing, maybe a little blue cheese.
Meat.
That's kind of the gist.
Sometimes, get some deer salami.
Sometimes cheese cubes.
Cheese
right?
cubes, you know, yeah. Cheddar cheese cubes. Yeah, no meats. No meats, to my knowledge. Maybe once in a while. But yeah.
You
raffle
you're
that
order
off later.
Yeah.
32 ounces of prime
all
rib
sitting
later.
In the
yeah.
fridge. No meat for the relish tray. That's all sitting in the freezer. You're going to win it later. Buy your tickets.
It's a special spot.
You don't have to be a member of the supper club, though.
I think probably back in the day, maybe you did to some extent, right?
I don't know. Now you don't.
Now you don't know.
Now you just have to go and buy some pull tabs and.
But they all have pull tabs. Game. There you go.
Do you have a Eagles club and?
Sure.
Yeah, like my grandparents that are gone on my mom's side.
Or VFW. Or
Yeah. Like, they went to the Eagles club in downtown Crawford, Nebraska. I think every night for dinner, probably, and. Their night, you know, two consisted of a couple draws of beer, and then my grandmother would go over to the machine and bring back a stack of pull tabs.
Absolutely.
And just, you know, and then you'd see the little stack over here. Well, those are the winners. And,
and it
brought this thing like, Jesus Christ, they could do those pull tabs all day long.
Yeah.
All night long. Yeah. They'd win just like... They earn just enough to go buy another 20 of them.
And, and they'll always say, yeah, just come ahead a little.
Yeah.
There's pull tab etiquette, you know, the pull tabs that you win, you need to put back in, right? So basically everybody's playing for that $100 pull tab, and if you don't get it, you know,
you buy more pull tabs. You don't ever pull the $20 out.
No.
Two more elements of the supper club I was thinking. Always named after a bird. It's like blue heron or the gray loon, something like that.
Really?
Sometimes on a lake. And then you know it's really good if they still have the old school cigarette machine where you pull in the back.
They gotta pull
and you
hard,
can't smoke in restaurants there, but they still sit there. They haven't moved it. It's covered in dust, slightly grayed, you know?
Still change back.
next to the payphone.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
A bird-named supper club with a relish tray.
Here you go.
Life would be good.
You're saying the live music thing is kind of hit or miss now?
Yeah, you know, I think...
they probably have a stage, but it hasn't been used in 20 years. You know?
None of us have the attention span to you know, have dinner and a show anymore. We're, you know, sit down, have a few drinks.
Move on.
Well, I mean, you guys went and procreated, and you have these things that cry and need attention later too.
Yeah.
So
our life hasn't changed that much. We kind of bring them along on the,
I don't know,
on
but
the ride.
We do need to negotiate on how we can get the Fireball Dragon. Our son has grown quite fond of it.
Yeah, have you seen him out here?
Oh yeah. He runs over and he says dinosaur, scary, roar, and then he runs away.
Yeah. He's been over here. Yeah, he's
El
been
Diablo.
Over here a lot.
Yes. Perfect. Well, what's next on your plans? Like, what are you guys working on?
Oh, man, what are we not working on? You should talk about Virtual Console a little bit.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the other things that has kind of come out of the last, you know, couple years, we have started a software company. It's a sister company that's based out of Schaumburg, Illinois. And, you know, the basic idea is that we're lowering the barrier to entry for people that are interested in, you know, cosmetic cases, implants, Invisalign. Oftentimes, taking that step forward is a big step. And... the only step is to call and come into the office and sit down and have a consult. And while that is the best next step, we want to broker a conversation and just get someone to sort of take a step forward. And so what we do is we ask them to take a photo, tell us what's wrong, and then our platform creates an easy workflow for dentists to be able to respond via video. Now, there's two ways to do this. The best way is to personally respond, say the person's name, but if you know your workflow doesn't account for that, we also allow dentists to pre-record videos that automatically respond based on the condition the person is interested in, implant, Invisalign, and it literally creates this automated video funnel that increases case acceptance from the national averages around 40% all the way up to 80%. So that's been a really exciting thing for us to watch grow over the last 2 years.
Yep.
And it's really kind of just a new way of approaching starting conversations with patients.
Yep.
Probably somewhat born out of the COVID.
Absolutely.
It's born out of COVID. Like, hey, listen, our industry is going to be forever affected by COVID.
Absolutely.
Yep. You know, from the things that we're going to now do. But, like, I don't have a problem with it. Like, if there's some pre-screening that we can do to cut down on the swings and misses and or the people that really aren't ready for treatment. Like, we go back to what we talked about. Like, they do have to be ready. Like, we can educate them and educate them and educate them. But, like we can only really execute on a plan that's going to work for everyone when they are ready.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. And, well, that's great. We're, we got a couple of projects that we're kind of working on. And really just Vorholt and I are on to like content creation and, making the programs better because we've experienced some good success. And, we don't have any too many, terrible complaints about us. Everything seems to be working.
That's all you can ask for in life, just not too many terrible complaints.
Yeah, right? Like, nobody's...
That's the benchmark I set for us.
I had a patient tell me after I did, I don't know, I think it was immediate dentistry, that wasn't too god-awful fucking terrible. I said, well, thank you.
I'll take it.
It is crazy what... I think it's crazy what people actually tell you.
Oh, God, yes.
See, what you need in your office is you need a protocol where you record testimonials. Imagine if you'd gotten that on video, how, that's...
He wasn't too awful fucking terrible.
Well, like your father-in-law, like we should have had a video of your father-in-law coming into New Horizon the other
day. You should have seen him with Caldwell. You know how she does all her shit where she's like... measures all these stuff, and then she got a head measuring his vertical, and then she gives him a kiss on the forehead. He's 80, and he looks like he's straight out of Duck Dynasty. And so she gives him a kiss on the forehead, and he just grins at me. Jesus Christ.
No GPS, no phone.
Nothing. No. I will find you a picture of him.
I want to see him.
Oh, my God. So good. So good. Well... I think you have some great success stories in here, not just us, but...
Big Joe.
Big Joe.
Yeah.
That's his name. Oh, Joe.
Is it?
Yeah. You know what you've done for the
last... He's out in Quartzsite selling guns all winter.
Oh, excellent.
Right here. All right, brother. Like what you kind of done for the Life and Dentistry boys.
Yeah,
that's...
Those Kentucky boys.
Yeah, what a great project in the Kentucky boys.
Yeah.
Like... We were just talking when we met them. They were
2017.
They were third year dental students. They really knew fucking nothing. But the best thing about them is like all they want to do is learn.
Yep.
Yeah.
They just want to be the best version of them.
Yep.
I think friend literally cleared his bank account out to come to your next course, and as a result of that, he now has to stay at our house. So I don't know who I should be complaining to about this. Do I complain to you about this?
You know what? I'm gonna send you some wine to soften that blow. But I'm not gonna send it while friend's there because you don't need
multiple days.
Yeah, I'm not gonna support his drinking your.
So I took. I think it was your second classroom course, and it was when the Kentucky boys took it, and they were all 2 weeks out of dental school. And I'm in the front row, and I'm sitting next to Big Joe. How y'all doing? I mean, Jesus Christ, you're a dentist?
He's so sweet.
It was hilarious.
His practice, though, is awesome. I mean, beautiful practice, and again, you talk about the importance of team. I mean, that guy... does not have a mean bone in his body, and you can see that team bleeds for him. I mean, they just it's just a great group, and it's a fascinating story. I mean, he opened during the
COVID,
right as the
a week before or something like that,
and he's crushed it. I mean, he's crushed it. It's just awesome.
All right, cool. All right, well, we will we'll be seeing you in San Diego in a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's right. We're excited.
Yeah, Chris,
Oceanside, you've got a course coming up.
Yeah, Oceanside. Sold out. You can't go to it, but it's good.
Yeah. But if you want to come stay in our basement with a friend, you can do that.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. That's when he's staying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You just have to tell him, hey, we're going to, you know, we're gonna ditch you for dinner one night.
Yeah. leave the kids with
Watch the kids.
We're going to get a date night.
Yes.
He's a new parent. You can watch.
Yeah. He's got it down with Dane.
He does.
Yeah. Well, again, thank you for being a sponsor at Voice of the Dentistry.
My pleasure.
And for all that you've done for you know, me personally and for Voice of the Dentistry, we really appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate having you in our lives. This is our Super Bowl. We love coming here. It's super fun for us.
Yeah, well, we're going to do it even better next year.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
You know, because I'm going to make the statement, I think that, like, we'll be in a better place next year and COVID won't be a problem. Yeah, I write. Like,
what could go wrong?
Yeah, what could go wrong with that statement?
It's going to age like milk.
variant level 9 by then.
I hope that next year's VOD starts off with that audio clip right there. You know, just commit to that and let's see how it plays.
Yep. We'll start that out with it. Right. Also, you should come to the complications course in June.
I think we're planning on it. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not gonna miss Napa Sonoma.
Yeah. I think it'll be fun.
I think
I'm
so.
Pretty
too.
Sure. So.
Pretty sure. I'm thinking of coming.
I know you're coming. Rita's gonna come with you too. Wow.
I know. I should drag her ass out there.
I know. So, all right. From the Wondrous Agency and Dennis Implants and Worms, we will catch you on the next episode. Cheers.
That concludes another episode of Dentists, Implants, and Worms. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for telling a friend and throwing 5 stars at us on iTunes. Catch you on another episode. And don't forget the fireball. Cheers.